Ahoy hoy, and welcome to episode 19 of Oops All Dax. I, as always, am your host, Alex, and I'm here to talk to you about Magic the Gathering. So not much new here. So what we're doing today is we're gonna talk about a deck.
What?
Yeah, I know. That's what we're doing, and it's very new and it's very exciting. So not really, but we're doing what we're doing. Business as usual, alright? So, I'm gonna talk about a deck, and then I'm gonna talk about some news. Really, what is news? News is Fate Reforged. Fate Reforged comes out in 12 days. It's the 16th of January. So it's coming out 28th, if I'm remembering correctly, which I very well might not be. And I should probably know this, just offhand. But, you see, I'm awful, so I also don't. You see, I'm bad at this, because it's actually the 23rd. So, there we are, 60 seconds in, and I've already completely screwed up. Oh well, you get it. Fate Reforged comes out the 23rd of January. It's 185 cards, and it's awesome. This set is pretty good, actually. From what I've seen, I haven't really taken a detailed look at it, but from what I've looked at, it's quite good. And my plan is, I'm gonna read through some of these as I'm casting. And the ones that I find interesting, I will talk about. I'm not going to do a full set review. I might leave that to another cast. But for now, I'm just going to go over a deck. And then I'm going to go over all of our fun stuff. We've got our mashup at the end of the cast, or near the end of the cast. And then we've got our question of the week. So stay tuned for that. Otherwise, we're going to jump right in the deck. Now, this is one that I've been really putting off because I didn't want to do it because it's awful. And it's because it's Dredge. So we're going to get it out of the way and get it over with so that I don't have to do it again. Unless they come out with some other type of Dredge, which hopefully... let's just put it this way. If they reprint Dredge ever, I quit. Okay, so Dredge... well, first we'll talk about the mechanic, okay? Dredge is an interesting mechanic. It was from Ravnica, City of Guilds, okay? And it's only been printed on 13 cards. So it's... You know, it's one of those mechanics where it's like, it seems like it should be on more when you think about it. You're like, wow, you know, I hear about Dredge a lot, and there's a lot of cards I see with Dredge. So you think automatically, well, there must be like 50 cards that have Dredge. Nope, 13. And, you know, about 40% of them, it's all black-green, you know, because it was from Ravnica, which is from the Golgari clan. Or not clan, the Golgari guild. Yeah, clan, guild, whatever, same freaking thing. So here's what Dredge is. Dredge basically is just, it's a mechanic from Ravnica City of Guilds that completely changes the way the game works, depending on how you play it. No, just, if you put it in a deck and you're playing Dredge, you're playing Dredge. It's like other people are playing Magic, you're playing Dredge. That's it. So, okay. Here's kind of how it works. So the way that the reminder text reads is it says Dredge X. So X is, it could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever it is. So Dredge number. If you would draw a card, and this is any time you may draw a card, instead you may put exactly X cards from the top of your library into your graveyard. If you do, return this card from your graveyard to your hand. Otherwise, draw a card. So notice how that was read. So a card that has Dredge that's in your graveyard, you can use Dredge. And you know, it's which is fine, because a lot of the cards with Dredge, it's like Dredge 4, Dredge 5. So when you take them out of the graveyard, put them in your hand, you're not necessarily doing it so that you can play them. You're doing it to fill your graveyard with stuff that wants to be in the graveyard. Stuff that would otherwise be difficult to use, or stuff that would otherwise not be cast. So here's an example of a card with Dredge. There's one, it's called Greater Moss Dog. Costs 3 and a green. It's a creature, plant, hound, and it's a 3/3 with Dredge 3. And that's it. So if it's in your graveyard, you, at the beginning of your turn, you know, untap, upkeep, draw, or upkeep, untap, draw. Instead of drawing, you can Dredge 3. So you take this card, put it into your hand, and then put the top three cards of your library into your graveyard. And then continue. Now, let's say that during your turn here, you have a Gitaxian Probe. Gitaxian Probe is the one that costs 0 mana, or you can pay one. You could pay 2 life or 1 blue. So you pay 2 life, and you draw a card. Or do you? No, you don't, because you're playing Dredge. Instead of drawing a card, you look through your graveyard, and you see if there's anything there that has Dredge. And if there is, because you just fed your graveyard 3 cards, there probably is. And then do it again, and then keep doing it. So Dredge basically makes your graveyard an extension of your hand. It's really weird, okay? It's just stupid. So I found a deck that I wanted to go over with Dredge. And Dredge is one of those weird ones that it can range from anywhere from, like, you know, $60 to $100 all the way up to, like, $800. It's one of those decks that it has so many different versions, but they're all doing the same thing. They're all playing Dredge. And Dredge is just, like, another word for cheat, really. So let's go onto the deck, and you'll see what I'm talking about. All right, so... I've played against Dredge. I hate it. I've never actually played Dredge, so that might be another reason why I hate it, because I've never actually played it. But, you know, bear with me. So, let's start here with all the cards in this deck that have Dredge, because they're actually, like, the least important cards. We have Greater Mossdog, which I've already gone over. That is a one of. And then we have Golgari Thug. Golgari Thug costs 1 and a black. It's a human warrior, 1/1, and it says, when Golgari Thug is put into a graveyard from play, put target creature card in your graveyard on top of your library. And it has Dredge 4. Okay, so, yeah. And then we also have, what else do we have? We have Shambling Shell. This is a 4 of as well. Costs 1, a black, and a green. It's a plant zombie, 3/1, that says, sacrifice Shambling Shell. Put a 1/1 counter on target creature. And it has Dredge 3. So he kind of recurs. If you ever get him out on the field, you can recur him. So let's say he's in your grave, and you Dredge 3, put top 3 in your blah, 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 and then you get this guy to your hand, cast him, then you can sack him right away, put a counter on something else, and then keep dredging him. That's if you have the mana, which a lot of these decks don't have a whole lot of mana. We'll go over that later. So that's Shambling Shell. Next up would be Stinkweed Imp. Stinkweed Imp is one of the better dredge cards. It costs 2 and a black, so 3 converted. It's an imp, 1/2 with flying. And it says, whenever Stinkweed Imp deals combat damage to a player, or to a creature, destroy that creature. And it has Dredge 5. So it's the higher form of dredge in the whole deck. Which is why it's a 4 of. So, in this entire deck, we have 8 plus 1, 9 plus 4. We have 13 dredge creatures in total in the entire deck. 4 different cards. So, hey, it's actually a deck that has what it says it has. It's not like affinity decks that literally have maybe 2 frogmites and it's like, oh, this is affinity now. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's Etched Champion. Okay, shut up. Okay, so... those are the dredge creatures. So you may be wondering, what are the cards that we're putting in our grave that we want to be doing this for? Well, there's a lot of them. and there's really only one card in here that allows you to bring them back. Or one of them, okay? It's called Dread Return. Dread Return is arguably the most important card in this deck. Well, not arguably, it is, because without it, the deck doesn't work. Dread Return costs 2 and 2 black, but don't worry, because you're never going to use that. It's a sorcery, uncommon from Time Spiral, actually. And it says, return target creature card from your graveyard to play. Ooh, interesting. Yeah, it is interesting. Yep. I mean, for 4 mana, you know, it's not bad. You can get a creature back for free. Yeah. Oh, wait, there's another addendum to this. Oh, that's right, it has flashback. Oh, well, flashback usually means that you have to do, like, 6 mana or 7 mana. Nope, all you have to do is sacrifice 3 creatures. Now, what? So you can flashback this basically for free, as long as you can sacrifice 3 creatures. And any creature you want that's in your graveyard, by the way, there's going to be a lot of them, you get onto the battlefield... this turn for free. So there's that. So that doesn't seem that great, and you're probably thinking, oh, well, there's not a lot of creatures in here that just or, you know, how do you get creatures to sacrifice? You can't just sacrifice nothing. You got to have stuff out there. All these creatures cost three, you know, two, four. What are we doing? I mean, you know, what, you're going to wait until turn four to do this? No, this is stupid. This deck is dumb. No, it's not dumb because we have a card called Narcomoeba. I don't know what it's called. Narco something. Okay? Narcomoeba. Sure, there we go. Good enough. This is a creature from Future Sight. And this is a 4 of, and this is the other most important card in this deck. It costs 1 and a blue. It is an illusion. 1/1 with flying. And it says, when Narcomoeba is put into your graveyard from the library, okay, you may put it into play. So if you dredge something and you put this into the graveyard, you just go right on the battlefield. And there's 4 of this. So that's a free creature that you just get. You just get this. You get to have it, and there's nothing you can do. You just get it. It's free. Put it on your battlefield, and there you go. You have sacrifice fodder. Oh my god. Okay, so here's the thing. That is an important part of this deck. Again, without that, it's tough to do much. So you can see there's a lot of moving parts to this deck. You need to have a sacrifice fodder, or you need to have a cannon fodder. You need to have dread returns. You need to have creatures with dredge to fill your graveyard cheaply, very, very, very cheaply. But you also need stuff to kill your opponent with. So what's really killing your opponent? Well, first, let's not get too ahead of ourselves here. We also have another card that lets you play cards for free. Yes, you heard me right. Also a 4 of. It is called Ikarid. Ikarid is awesome. It costs 3 and a black. It's a horror. It's a 3/1 with haste, and it says, at the end of turn, sacrifice Ikarid. Okay, fair enough. But it also has an ability that says, at the beginning of your upkeep, if Ikarid is in your graveyard, you may remove a black creature card in your graveyard other than Ikarid from the game. If you do, return Ikarid to play. So put him on the battlefield for free. Again, this is about the only way that you're going to be actually casting this. So, hooray. So basically just any black creature card that you have in your grave, which, you know, it could be a Stinkweed Imp, it could be a Shambling Shell, it could be a Golgari Thug, it could be some other cards that I haven't listed yet, and you get this for free. Now, you do have to sack it at the end of the turn, but legitimately, you really only need it for the end of the turn because Dread Return is what you're going to use this for. So let's say you have 2 Narcomoebas out on the field, okay, and you have an Ikarid in your graveyard. And you also have a Golgari Thug in your graveyard, okay? Cool. And Dread Returns in your graveyard as well, which, again, this is all completely something that could happen because this is Dredge. So what you do is you remove Golgari Thug from the game. Again, this is just a total what if. You remove the Golgari Thug from the game, and Ikarid goes on the battlefield, okay? Then you should probably attack. I don't really know what the policy is on attacking with Dredge, with these creatures, but let's say you attack, and then you do some damage, and then what you do is you Dread Return. So you sacrifice Ikarid, you sacrifice both of your Narcomoebas, and then you get something for free. So, totally for free. There's no downside to this, like, at all. So what do you put out? What are you putting out here? Well, you could put out this card. You could put out Flayer of the Hatebound. Flayer is usually a 1 or 2 of in Dredge. Well, in this version of Dredge anyways. Flayer of Hatebound costs 5 and a red. He's a devil, rare. 4/2 with Undying. And he says, whenever Flayer of the Hatebound or another creature enters the battlefield from your graveyard, that creature deals damage equal to its power to target creature or player. So basically, you'll deal 4 damage, plus he has Undying, so if he dies, he comes back with a counter, so then he would deal 5 damage. And again, you have a pretty decent sack engine here, so that's not a problem. Now, this doesn't seem like a very, very good strategy. Basically, you're sacking all your dudes and you're only getting 1 guy. Like, what am I getting back? What is really the engine in this deck that really gets me stuff that I can kill my opponent with? Well, it's a little card that we all know and love called Bridge from Below. Not Bridge from Blow, Bridge from Below. Bridge from Below costs 3 black, so 3 converted. It's an enchantment, and it's a rare from Future Sight. Oh, good old Future Sight, giving us things that we love and will never forget. Whenever a non-token... I'm just going to read it, because I don't even think... Whenever a non-token creature is put into your graveyard from play... This happens an awful lot! If Bridge from Below is in your graveyard, put a 2-2 black zombie creature token into play. Yep, that's... You heard that. It has another piece. It says, when a creature is put into an opponent's graveyard from play, if Bridge from Below is in your graveyard, remove Bridge from Below from the game. So basically, hey, it only lets you do it so many times, and if you kill your opponent's creatures, or one of their creatures dies because they sacked it, Bridge from Below goes away. There's that. The Bridge from Below is the engine. Bridge from Below is the one that basically, like, okay, let's say it's turn one, and you have a big hand. Okay, so you can't do anything because you don't have any mana, basically. So you go ahead and you keep drawing until you have to mull. Okay, so you mull a Googlery Thug, and then you dredge 4 the next time that you can draw. So then what happens is you put 1 Bridge from Below into your graveyard, and you're just, and that's it. That's all you need. You got 1 in there. And then from that point on, any creature that goes in there from play, so anything that you sacrifice or anything that just dies, it goes into the grave. And you get a 2-2 zombie. Now, there's 4 copies of Bridge from Below. So at any given point, you could have 2 of them, in which case it would mean that you would get 2 2-2 zombies. So it's a card that... really just, it helps you even more because you're getting a big pile of creatures out of putting stuff into your graveyard from play by killing it. It's just nuts. Okay, so what else do we got here? I feel like I'm just, like, skipping all over the place, which I am, so I apologize for that, but you know what? This is my podcast, so feel free to hate me. So what else do we have? We have Nether Shadow is another creature. Nether Shadow costs 2 black. It's a shadow creature. I don't know what the actual type it is, but, you know, whatever. It's a 1-1, and it has haste. And it says, at the end of your upkeep, if Nether Shadow is in your graveyard with at least 3 creature cards above it, you may put Nether Shadow into play. Yes, yep. This deck actually worries about Grave Order. Now, this is so rare and so few and far between cards have this type of text that it actually kind of caught me off guard there, because I totally forgot that this deck had that. So, yeah. So if your opponent goes, may I see your library, just make sure to say, hey, if you move any of these out of the order that they're in, I will call the judge. or if you're just playing on the kitchen table, why are you playing Dredge? As long as it has 3 creatures above it, which, come on, it's not going to take that long to do it. You get to put it into play. So you got more sacrifice fodder. More stuff that you can just kill, and boom, you got other stuff that you want. The nice thing is, when it dies, it goes right back to the graveyard. It's not like it exiles, you know, like a lot of creatures where when they come back from the grave, they say, okay, at the end of turn, you know, exile it. Nope. He just gets put back into play. And then, you know, when he dies, he goes right back to the graveyard, right where you want him. And there's 4 of this, of course. Enjoy that. What else do we have? We have Phantasmagorian. That is an awesome name. Phantasmagorian costs 5 and 2 black. It's a horror. Uncommon, 6/6. I'm sorry, I'm super immature, so every time I say horror, I, like, overpronounce it, because otherwise I feel like I'm saying horror. So... that's why I do that. Anyway, it's a 6/6. When you play Phantasmagorian, any player may discard 3 cards. If a player does, counter Phantasmagorian. Okay, so and he has an ability that says, discard 3 cards. Return Phantasmagorian from your graveyard to your hand. Yep. So even more. Even more stuff. So again, it's probably going to be a one-time thing, because it is a 4-of, but if you get a couple of them in your graveyard, hey, you know, just discard your whole hand and then get them back to your hand. And then as you build up dredge cards, it's basically another way to feed your dredge creatures back into your graveyard. Because once they get in your hand, a lot of times they'll get stuck there. And you know, again, Phantasmagorian, he puts them back and then he comes back to your hand. So, you know, reasons. And then, you know, if you want to get rid of them, well, then you'll have to discard them somehow. And actually, you could just discard the Phantasmagorian to trigger a different Phantasmagorian from the graveyard to do this. So that's probably the easiest way to do it. Let's see, what else do we have here? We also have... there's a lot of cards in this deck. Not gonna lie. Okay, so I think that it's time that I say why this deck is the way it is. This deck has no land in it. That's right, there is no land. There is only one card in this entire deck that does anything with land. There's nothing in this deck. Nothing. This deck is manaless. This is manaless dredge. Okay, so, sorry, I kind of held out on you, but this is manaless dredge. Of course, that's going to be right in the podcast title, so you know what? If you didn't read the title, then ha 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 ha, take that. I totally got you. Ha. This deck literally has no mana in it. Nothing that taps for mana, nothing that searches for mana, there's no land, there's nothing that does anything to do with any mana at all. So again, what is dredge? Dredge is not Magic the Gathering. Dredge is not that at all. A Magic the Gathering deck has, you know, is like, you know, 30% land. Not this deck. This deck is 0% land. Hooray! So again, dredge, right? I mean, what are you guys playing over there? Oh, we're playing Magic. Oh, okay. Wait. What are the decks you're playing? Oh, sorry, we're not playing Magic. We're playing dredge. We're both playing dredge right now, and it's awful. It's just it's awful. So yeah, that's the big secret of this particular version of dredge. And you know what the funny part is there's a lot of other versions of dredge that do have land, but they only have like 2 or 3. So, you know, why not? Why not make dredge even more stupid? But because why would you want land? It just slows you down. It really does. It just oh no, I've got a land in my hand. Whoops, I discarded it. Aw. You know, so it's just worthless in this deck, in this particular version of dredge. So, what do we have? What else do we have? We have a Street Wraith. Street Wraith, it normally costs 3 and 2 black, but as I'm sure you've been able to tell already, I could totally and completely ignore the mana costs on all these cards because you're not ever doing it. Or paying for it. But, you know, that's just me. It's a Wraith. It's an uncommon from Future Sight, again. And it's a 3-4. But nobody cares. Nobody cares because it has Swamp Walk, but you know what? Nobody cares. Because it has cycling, and that's the only reason anybody cares and has this in this deck. And, you know, the funny thing is, instead of paying mana to do its cycle, you just pay 2 life. Yep, just pay 2 life, and then you can discard this card and draw a different one. Yep, so feed your graveyard even more. By the way, it's a Swamp Walker with 3-4, so, or it's a 3-4 with Swamp Walk, so, if you do get it on your battlefield, hey, you know, it's a 3-4. Woohoo! But yeah, otherwise, it's just a cycling card that you can pay 2 life to pay for the cycle cost, which, it's a 4-of, so, I mean, it's a good way to discard it and draw stuff. What else do we have? We also have Golgari Grave Troll. Golgari Grave Troll is probably one of the awesome... oh, wait, hold up. This one has dredge, too. Derp, I completely missed this one. Well, then, I'm a liar. Oh, it's because the stupid number's covering dredge, so I couldn't read it. Well, I could, but it kind of covered it, and it's kind of down there. A lot of card text. Shut up. So, sorry. So there's actually 5 cards in this deck with dredge. and this is a four of, so there's actually 17 cards in this entire deck that have dredge. So it's like the dredge cards or your land cards. Golgari Grave Troll costs 4 and a green. Again, no one cares. It's a skeleton troll rare 0/0. And it says Golgari Grave Troll comes into play with a 1/1 counter on it for each creature card in your graveyard. You may pay 1, remove a 1/1 counter from Golgari Grave Troll, and regenerate Golgari Grave Troll. And you're never going to do that because you don't have any mana, but hey, it's the card. And it has dredge 6. So this is probably one of the cards that you might want to do a dread return for, because as you're dread returning, you're feeding your graveyard, and not to mention there's probably like 30 other cards in your graveyard that are also creatures, so this is a huge creature when it comes out. But, you know, again, you know, this deck mostly deals with Bridge from Below being fed and getting 2/2 zombies, but, you know, you also have other creatures that you can possibly use to destroy your opponent's face, so keep that in mind. What else do we have here? We also have, I've got a sorcery I didn't say. Cabal Therapy. Cabal Therapy is a sorcery. It is a 4 of, and it costs 1 black. Again, nobody cares. It says, name a non-land card. Target player reveals his or her hand and discards from it all cards with that name. And it has, it, of course, the only way you can cast it is with flashback. And that's fine, because the flashback cost is sacrifice a creature. Which, again, you want to do anyways. So this is just basically a good way to, if you know your opponent is playing combo, or if your opponent is playing counters, if you know the exact copy of counters that they're playing, boom, you can get rid of them in one fell swoop. And the best thing is, it's good and it's bad, because it doesn't empty their graveyard or anything like that, but it does at least get them out of their hand so they can't screw you right now. And then I've actually got another sorcery here, Gitaxian Probe. As I said, that is a 4 of in this deck, so we've got 4 of those. You know, so again, the Gitaxian Probe isn't just for drawing a card, it's also for looking at your opponent's hand. So, if you don't know what deck they're playing, hey, turn 1, Gitaxian Probe, let me see your hand. And then from there, you can play around that. You know, so there's that. A lot of people forget that Gitaxian Probe also lets you look at the opponent's hand. It's a pretty important part of it. And then lastly, creature-wise, we have Balustrade Spy. Balustrade Spy costs 3 and a black. Again, I don't care. Vampire Rogue, common, is a 2/3 with flying. And it says, when Balustrade Spy enters the battlefield, target player reveals cards from the top of his or her library until he or she reveals a land card, then puts those cards into his or her graveyard. So basically, you get this guy on the field, you dump your entire library. Yeah, you don't do it to your opponent, you do it to yourself. You dump your entire library into your graveyard, and then you pay very close attention to your grave order with Nether Shadows, you know, being in there. If you had any Narcomabias or Narcomobas, whatever the crap those things are called in your grave, you get those to your library immediately. Icarid, you can get all those to your battlefield immediately as well. Especially considering if you just dread returned, which you have to do to get any of these creatures out, that means you got rid of some of your Narcomobas, but that's fine because there's going to be at least one other that you didn't have. So that'll hit Icarids. You can exile some Stinkweed Imps or something to let those hit and get out to the battlefield, do another dread return. You can bring out Golgari Grave Troll. Boom, you have a massive creature. You know, or actually, you wouldn't want to do that first. You'd want to do Flayer the Hatebound first. So again, you know, again, you have 4 dread returns. So that's 2. So you've used 1 for Balustrade Spy, dump your entire library, get back your Icarids, and then another dread return, get your Flayer of Hatebound out, deal 4 damage, and then get your Icarids back again by getting rid of Golgari Thugs or Channeling Shells, Stinkweed Imps, whatever, or Phantasmagorians, or Street Wraiths. Then you Golgari Grave Troll, which, as if you remember, comes into play with a 1/1 counter on it for each creature card in your graveyard. Your entire graveyard is full. You have nothing in your library. So when he hits the battlefield, you deal like 20-something damage because Flayer of the Hatebound's ability triggers. And then you win the game. And then that's it. So now you see why I left that one basically for last. Because that is the easier, it's one of the ways to win. It's the big way to win, actually, especially in Manaless Dredge, because if you even had one land in here, that might hose your entire freaking idea. So yeah, that's Manaless Dredge. And this is five color, by the way. There is actually, no, it's not. Well, it technically is because of your sideboard, but normally it would be black, green, blue, and red. And then you got a white in your sideboard. Which, by the way, I missed two cards. Well, one card. Urza's Bauble. Urza's Bauble costs zero. It's an artifact. You can tap to sacrifice it, and it says, choose a card at random from target player's hand and look at that card. And then draw a card at the beginning of the next turn. So basically, it gives you two triggers for Dredge, if you like. Because you still have your untap, upkeep, and then draw. But you would draw for Urza's Bauble first, and then you would do that. So basically, it gives you another dredge, or opportunity to dredge. So yeah, and here's your sideboard, or here's a sideboard. Surgical Extraction, which is basically just a better version of Cabal Therapy, costs one black or pay two life. It's an instant that says, choose target card in a graveyard other than a basic land card. Search its owner's graveyard, hand, and library for any number of cards with the same name as that card and exile them. Then, that player shuffles his or her library. So, they gotta be in the graveyard first, I guess. So, it's not really better, but it is still good. Which, again, if you're playing a mirror match, Surgical Extraction is the card that you want. Another card that you're gonna want is Mindbreak Trap. We've been through this. Basically, as long as they cast three or more spells in a row, you can pay zero instead of its mana cost, which is four, two and two blue, and then you can exile any number of target spells. So basically, it's the best counter spell of all time. It's a storm breaker. It's like a combo breaker. It shouldn't be called Mindbreak Trap. It should be called Combo Breaker Trap, because it destroys storm. It destroys any combo deck whatsoever, and it just says, hey, no. So, what else do we have? We have Chancellor of the Annex. That's the one white card that's in the sideboard. It costs four and three white. It's an angel rare 5/6 with flying. And it says, you may reveal this card from your opening hand. If you do, when each opponent casts his or her first spell of the game, counter that spell unless that player pays one colorless. And then it says, whenever an opponent casts a spell, counter that spell unless that player pays one colorless. So, you know, you can cheat this out just like you could with anything else, but it's a way to destroy storm, or it's a way to just, yeah, it's a good way to get rid of storm or anything like artifact or, you know, cheap decks that use cheap cards. It's a good way to get rid of those, especially if it's in your opening hand, because then it hoses their first turn. So yeah, but it's just the first spell, not all their spells. But then if you get it on the battlefield, it is all their spells. So woohoo. Another good one is Ashen Rider. Ashen Rider is a mythic rare archon 5/5. It costs 4, 2 white, and 2 black, so 8 converted. And it has flying, and it says, when Ashen Rider enters the battlefield or dies, exile target permanent. So I guess if you need removal, if you need something to get rid of something else, Ashen Rider is the way to go. And then lastly, Sickening Shoal. Sickening Shoal is an instant arcane spell from Saviors, I think, of Kamigawa. No, Betrayers of Kamigawa. It costs X and 2 black. And it says, you may remove a black card with converted mana cost X in your hand from the game rather than pay Sickening Shoal's mana cost. Target creature gets minus X until end of turn. So, if you play this, and instead of paying its mana cost, obviously, you remove a Street Wraith, which is 5 mana, remember, you can get minus X for free, basically, and kill anything. Which, that'd be, obviously, it'd be -5/-5. So you get to kill something for free. So yeah, I've gone over all the cards that were in this deck. Dredge is one of those decks that you just, like, it's stupid. It's stupid how stupid it is. Because it works, and it doesn't look like it should work. When you read through it, it's like, this is dumb. This shouldn't work at all, but it does. Because you just gotta know how to do it. Here. I'm looking through other versions of Manaless Dredge here just to see if there's any other cards that you could play. Just instead. Here. I actually have a laptop to do this instead of on my phone, so that's making it a little easier. Now, every single freaking copy of Manaless Dredge looks more or less the same. because they're so fine-tuned. But I'm going to look a little bit more. Well, here's a difference. Instead of Urza's Bauble, we've got Mishra's Bauble, which also costs zero. It's an artifact that says, tap, sacrifice Mishra's Bauble. Look at the top card of the target player's library. Draw a card at the beginning of the next turn's upkeep. So it's more or less the same thing, except instead of looking at random at their hand and a card, you get to look at the top card of the library, which is just as helpful, if not more so. Let's see, is there anything else? Holy crap. Okay, I just found one. It's hilarious. Okay, so this version of Mana List Dredge, it has, like, all of the Chancellors from New Phyrexia, and it has Gigapedes, and it has Progenitus, and a Stormtide Leviathan. This is hilarious. I want to play this. Okay, so it has four Chancellors of the Annex, which I've already gone over what it does. Counters everything, blah, 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 unless they pay one. Then you have Chancellor of the Dross. Chancellor of the Dross, he normally costs 4 and 3 black. He's a vampire somehow. He's a 6-6. And he says, "When you may reveal this card from your opening hand. If you do, at the beginning of the first upkeep, each opponent loses 3 life, and you gain life equal to the life lost this way." And it has flying and lifelink. You also have Chancellor of the Forge, cost 4 and 3 red. He's a giant, 5-5, that says, "You may reveal this card from your opening hand. If you do, at the beginning of the first upkeep, put a 1-1 goblin token with haste onto the battlefield. And when he enters the battlefield, put X 1-1 red goblin creature tokens with haste on the battlefield, where X is the number of creatures you control." Then you have... this is a 4 of as well. So here we have 12 Chancellors so far. And then we have Chancellor of the Spires, which is a 2 of, costs 4 and 3 blue, blah, blah, blah. It's a 5-7 Sphinx, blah. "You may reveal this card from blah. If you do, at the beginning of the first upkeep, blah, each opponent puts the top 7 cards of his or her library into the graveyard and has flying, blah." And it says, "When Chancellor of the Spires enters the battlefield, blah, you may cast target, instant, or sorcery card from an opponent's graveyard without paying its mana cost, blah." Whew. So it has all those. It also has Progenitus, which is something that you could get out for free. So basically it's using Dredge as an engine to fill your graveyard, and then also to play Progenitus or Stormtide Leviathan for free. So basically you hope that your opening hand has a bunch of Chancellors, so you get a free creature, a few life, maybe have somebody mull, and then you can discard them and then start dredging, which is hilarious. And then, if you don't know, Progenitus costs 2 Wooburg times 2, so 2 white, 2 blue, blah, blah, blah. It's a legendary creature, Hydra Avatar, with protection from everything. It's a 10-10, and it says, "If it would be put into a graveyard from anywhere, reveal it, shuffle it into its owner's library instead." Hold on, wait, why is this in here? I just realized that doesn't make any sense. How would you put this out for free? Can't put it into your graveyard. What? Why would you... Huh? Hold on. Oh, maybe it's just a way to stay alive. So when you dump your entire library, instead of dumping your entire library, you keep Progenitus on top of your library. Okay. So maybe it gives you an extra turn to not die. Okay, I can get behind that. That makes sense. I was like, hold on. If this deck isn't putting Progenitus out, then what is it doing? Yeah. Love it when I completely oversee that kind of thing. Because it makes me look dumb. So we also have Gigapede, which is a 3 and 2 green, blah, blah, blah. It's an insect, 6-1. Can't be the target of spells or abilities. And it says, at the beginning of your upkeep, if Gigapede is in your graveyard, here's the important part, you may discard a card from your hand. If you do, return Gigapede to your hand. Nice. So it's just a way to discard stuff out of your hand, especially stuff with Dredge, if you've got it, or whatever. Or you can, yeah. No, that makes sense. So yeah, that's just another version that I did not expect to see at all. But I figured, hey, why not look? So I'm glad I looked, because that's hilarious. You know, there's not really much else that I can say. Dredge is it's one of those decks. Again, like I said, I've never played it, so I'm not an expert on it by any means. Just same as a lot of decks that I go over on this show. But it's an interesting, if you come up against it, the best way to destroy it is to just graveyard hate. Just a lot of graveyard hate with a little bit more graveyard hate frosted on top. Because, you know, with Dredge, there's a lot of things that it can really destroy it. So, you know, if an opponent has Leyline of the Void, for instance, costs 2 and 2 black, If it's in your opening hand, you may begin the game with it on the battlefield, and it's an enchantment. And it says, if a card would be put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, exile it instead. Basically, you get that card out, and you scoop, okay? Grafdigger's Cage, same thing. It's a one-cost artifact that says creature cards can't enter the battlefield from graveyards or libraries, and players can't cast cards in graveyards or libraries. So, again, it's a complete hoser. Without those, there's no way to answer those. So, basically, those hit, and you're done. You're just done, and that's it. Or Deathrite Shaman, which basically empties any graveyard. You can tap him, get rid of land, which of course isn't very important, but instant or sorcery cards you can do. So say if they have a Deathrite Shaman out and you have one Dread Return, they can pay one black, tap it, exile that Dread Return, and then make you lose two life. So there, it's not like there's nothing that can destroy Dredge. Dredge is by no means a deck that is impossible to defeat or to win against, but it is an interesting one that once it gets going, it gets going. There's not really much you can do about it, again, unless you have graveyard hate, which is why occasionally Dredge will go and, top eight at a tournament or win a tournament, just because people will forget, hey, we need to remember to hate out the graveyard occasionally, or at least have something in our sideboard that hates out the graveyard. But eventually, as the meta shifts, nobody plays Grave Hate because nobody's playing Dredge. Well, then somebody goes, I'm going to play Dredge because nobody's playing Graveyard Hate. It's just, it's a never-ending cycle. So, yeah, that's Dredge. That's really all I've got to say about it. It's an interesting concept. Crap. It's an interesting concept. You're technically still playing Magic the Gathering, but it's Dredge. I'm not a huge fan, because I have had to play against it, and I don't like it, but I do respect it. I do respect how awful it is. So that's Dredge. That's all I got to say about Dredge. I'm going to move on. Let's go over some news. Let's talk about Magic a little bit. So, as I said earlier, basically, big news is, Fate Reforged coming out on the 23rd. So we actually only have about 7 days, and then it's here, being that it is Friday. Pre-release is happening this weekend, not for me, but for other people, but it's happening this weekend, and the next Friday, is when it's released. So, 185 cards coming out, and I don't know exactly how many of those are new, or how many are reprints. I don't know where to go to look to see what the ratio is, but, new set, whatever. 185 technically new cards are coming out. And they did just release the intro packs for Fate Reforged as well. They just put the deck list up not too long ago. Basically, it's just a white deck, a blue deck, a black deck, and a... Well, no. These are multicolor, aren't they? Okay, I really, really, really hate this site. Okay, so we've got a black-white deck. We've got a blue-red deck. We've got a green-black deck. We've got a red-white deck. We've got a blue-green deck. So we've got multicolored decks. Ha-ha! Hooray! Huzzah! And they are all interesting, to say the least. the white... God, I really hate that they don't list that right on the frickin' box. Oh, that is annoying. You can't tell by the box art, because it's just got a white card in the front. It's white-black. Okay, so for the white-black deck list, the card on the front is Dragon Scale General. It costs 3 and a white. It's a creature, human, warrior, rare, and it's 2/3. And it says, at the beginning of your end step, bolster X, where X is the number of tapped creatures you control. So, at the end of your turn, every turn, you get a lot of 1/1 counters. Which is always like, yay! And then it goes on your weakest creature, but still, it's something. And then in our red-blue deck, the front cover creature is Sage Eye Avengers. And it costs 4 and 2 blue. It's a creature Jin Monk, rare, 4/5, with prowess. And it says, whenever Sage Eye Avengers attacks, you may return target creature to its owner's hand if its power is less than Sage Eye Avengers' power. So every time it attacks, get rid of something as long as it's less than its power, which most is going to be because it's a 4/5. And it has prowess, so again, it might get boosted. Okay, so it's a six cost. Okay, yeah, okay, whatever. Then we have, in the green-black deck, we have Archfiend of Depravity, or Depravity. God, I can't talk. Costs 3 and 2 black. He's a demon, rare, 5/4 with flying. That says, at the beginning of each opponent's end step, that player chooses up to 2 creatures he or she controls, then sacrifices the rest. So, this is probably one of the better cards out of all these intro packs, or, you know, the front card. Just because it's each opponent, not each player. So it doesn't happen to you. So this would be good in Commander, I think. I'd like it in Commander. What else do we have? We have in the red-white deck, we have Flame Rush Rider. Ah, Dash. He costs 4 in a red. He's a human warrior, 3/3. And he says, whenever Flame Rush Rider, ugh, I hate that name, attacks, put a token onto the battlefield tapped and attacking that's a copy of another target attacking creature. Exile the token at the end of combat. And he has Dash. So for 2 and 2 red, you get him. He has haste. So basically for 4 mana, you get a 3/3 that's attacking, and you get to copy another attacking creature. Not this one, because it says another. So you can't target Flame Rush Rider. So it's a, you know, it's a good way to copy something crazy. Like if you want to, you know, because he doesn't have to deal damage. He just has to attack. Doesn't matter if he deals damage. So, that's interesting, actually. So let's say you're attacking with Progenitus. Well, I'll make a copy of Progenitus, and, you know, there's that. Although it's targeted, so you wouldn't really be able to do it now, would you? Well, I don't know. Would you? Can you copy Progenitus? No, I don't think it can, because it's targeting it. If it didn't say target creature, then it could, but it can't. So, I mean, it's still a good card. I mean, it's a little spendy for 5, but with Dash is, I think it's probably the most underrated mechanic in this whole set, just because, I mean, there's no downside, because you get their ability, they have haste, and most of them have abilities that say when they come into play, so you get to replay that. Usually the Dash cost is less than its mana cost, so I really don't see any downside to Dash. I really don't. I just don't see it at all, so I like it. Temur War Shaman costs 4 and 2 green. It's a human shaman, rare, 4/5, that says, when Temur War Shaman enters the battlefield, manifest the top card of your library. Which, of course, manifest, again, being if you put something face down from the top of your library, and it's a 2/2 now. And you can turn it face up anytime by paying its mana cost if it's a creature card. And then he also says, whenever a permanent you control is turned face up, if it's a creature, you may have it fight target creature you don't control. That's like all I have. That's all I have to say about it. Well, because unless you're putting it in a deck that has Ferocious, I don't know that you're going to really want to do that ever, because it's just going to die, and it seems kind of mana intensive. Well, not mana intensive, but it seems kind of labor intensive just to have a removal. I guess if you could put this in a green deck, a green ramp deck that's just got a lot of big creatures and some Ferocious in it, and then you would be fine, because then it's basically like removal. Every time you know, turn something face up, it's able to remove a creature, as long as its toughness isn't too high. So yeah, those are the 5 intro pack front cards. The decks aren't great. I mean, you know, they're intro packs, so it is what it is. They're not terrible. They actually, a lot of them, they're basically singleton decks from what I'm seeing. Yeah, it really is. I mean, they come with 2 boosters, so, you know, no matter what. But the red-blue deck, though, it does come with the Monastery Swift Sphere, so that's cool. You know, I mean, a deck that's, it's, what are they, like $14.99 now? So Monastery Swift Sphere is like $4. I think it's $4. It's been forever since I actually went to Star City Games and looked up prices. Well, not forever, but it's been a little while. Yeah, well, it's at $309. That is a very weird price. The foil is $20, though, so, I mean, there's that. But yeah, it's got a copy of Monastery Swift Sphere and a bunch of Lightning Strikes, and it's just basically like a burn deck that draws occasionally. So, I mean, again, not great, but not awful. Could be worse. Grave Advantage is just basically, yep, put stuff in your graveyard and sacrifice stuff, return it for cheapish. Nothing really special here. Nope. This is probably the worst one out of all of them. What about Stampeding Hordes? This is the red-white. This is probably the best one. But anyways, I digress. That's intro packs are released now. So hooray. I think I'm just going to grab a couple of cards out of this pile of 185 and talk about them because I want to. What do we have? Let's see here. There's a couple I know that I wanted to go over. So something worth noting, there's only one Planeswalker in this entire set, and that's Ugin, of course, which it's actually a really good card. For 8 mana, what it does, it actually is pretty balanced for how much it costs. Obviously, there's a home for it somewhere. I don't think it's going to be in Standard, but somebody will play it. Somebody will do something with it. Otherwise, there's a lot of good Delve cards in this set, too, such as Tasigur, the Golden Fang. This costs 5 and a black, so 6 converted, and he has Delve. So, I mean, any card that's under 7 mana that has Delve is just probably good. It's because it's going to be real cheap to play. It's a legendary creature, Human Shaman. So, hey, cool. Some Commander cards. Has Delve, of course. It's a 4/5, and has this ability. For 2 and a hybrid green-blue, so for 4 converted, so he's going to have to be in either a black-green deck, oh, real stretch, or a blue-black deck, oh, massive stretch. So for 2 and one of those two colors, or 2 of those two colors, whichever combination you want to do, put the top 2 cards of your library into your graveyard. Then, return a non-land card of an opponent's choice from your graveyard to your hand. So, you get something back. So you put 2 things in, you get something back. But it's your opponent's choice. So really, they have to choose. Obviously, if you get a land, you're probably going to get that back. But hey, you know what? Oh no. Return a non-land card of an opponent's choice. So, if it's a land, then they can't do it. They gotta pick the other one. So that's even better. it's an interesting one. I mean, again, you know, you're going to be able to play this pretty early. He's a 4/5, so he's a pretty big guy. He's going to be able to attack, but then he's got an ability that you can use when you get a little bit more mana to work with. I think he's cool. I don't know. And there's one here that's just really been massively, like, over-talked about. Warden of the First Tree. Now, people, it's like pre-ordering for like $10. Which, why? It's not good. I don't think it's very good anyway. It costs 1 green. It's a human mythic rare. That's probably why it's pre-ordering for 10. It's a 1/1 that says, for 1 and a hybrid white-black, Warden of the First Tree becomes a human warrior with base power and toughness 3/3. Okay? And then for 2 and a white-black, if Warden of the First Tree is a warrior, it becomes a human spirit warrior with trample and lifelink. You see where this is going. And then for 3, white-black, if Warden of the First Tree is a spirit, put 5 1/1 counters on it. So basically for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 mana, you get a 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 8, 8 with trample and lifelink. Yeah, so would you cast a creature that has that for that much mana? No, you wouldn't do that. So why would you want to do it now? But it's like, well, it's like level up, you know, because you get to make him stronger, but you don't have to do it all at once. You can just slowly do it. It's perfect. It's like you're curving out. No, you're not curving out, okay? It's not the same thing. Me playing a 1-1 on first turn, and then the next turn playing a 3-3, and then the next turn playing a 3-3 human warrior with trample and lifelink, and then the next turn playing a 3-3 human warrior trample with lifelink and 5 1-1 counters on it is not the same as making this guy into a 3-3 with 5 1-1 counters on it with trample and lifelink. Not the same thing. I have 4 cards, not 1. This is 1 card. 1 card, boom. Not a good card. I don't understand why people are... If anybody's seriously paying $10 to pre-order this guy, they really should not be. Just put it that way. I don't like it. Not a good card. Just knock it off. We have a... I'm sorry, but I just don't like it. We also have a cycle of uncommon dragons. That kind of caught me. I was pretty excited about that. And it's a cycle with all 5 colors. So we've got Ward Scale Dragon, which is 4 colorless and 2 white. He's a dragon, uncommon, with flying. Obviously, they all have flying, and they're all 4/4s, but they all have different abilities. This one says, as long as Ward Scale Dragon is attacking, defending player can't cast spells. So, cool. Not much to say there. Mind Scour Dragon, same thing. 4 and 2 blue. Flying 4/4. Says, whenever Mind Scour Dragon deals combat damage to an opponent, target player puts the top 4 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. Okay, again, you know, cool. These are all 4/4 flyers. So, in their respective colors, that can be a good or bad thing. In blue, that's pretty decent. 4/4 flyer for 6 is not terrible. Next, we have Noxious Dragon. Again, 4/2 black, flying 4/4, and it says, when Noxious Dragon dies, you may destroy target creature with converted mana cost 3 or less. So, okay, cool. Shock Maw Dragon is next. It's 4/2 red, 4/4 flying. Whenever Shock Maw Dragon deals combat damage to a player, it deals 1 damage to each creature that player controls. Okay, so kill all their little 1/1s. It costs 6 mana, and you got a 4/4 out of it, so it's not that bad. And then, wow. Is so such a stupid wow. Okay, so this art is not good. Like, wait, I need to get a closer look at this. Is that seriously what that is? Yep, that's what that is. Okay, so this card is called Destructor Dragon. Yeah, Destructor Dragon is what it's called. It is called what in the art? I don't like the art. What? Okay, let me just read it. It's flying 4/4/4 and 2 green. When Destructor, dragon dies, destroy target non-creature permanent. Okay, so its ability isn't terrible. Because you get a 4/4 flyer, and then when he does eventually die, you get to destroy something with it. Okay, fine. Fine. It's a decent card. But the name is dumb. The art is dumb. I don't know. Seriously, Destructor Dragon, really? Like, look, I am Destructor! Like, that's just the only thing I can think of. That is it. And the art kind of, it looks like a flying man with that bone helmet or that skull helmet from Temple of Doom, you know, the guy wears. He looks like he's wearing a bone skull helmet, and he is setting fire to, he's burninating a village right now. So, just why? Like, this is just, and by the way, like, is that how common dragons were in cons? And if so, how did people kill every single one of them? Literally, as far as I know, there have not been many other common or uncommon dragons printed in the history of Magic the Gathering, okay? It's probably the most that were printed in one set. So how in 1,000 years, I guess 1,000 years is a long time, but how did they kill all of them if there were literally that many? This makes no sense whatsoever. So, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, seriously, they didn't print one Drake. Not a one single blasted Drake in this entire freaking set. Not one. Not 3, not 2, not 1, 0. Zilch, nada. No Drakes. Like, seriously? In a dragon world, there aren't any Drakes. Are you kidding me? I don't know. I just really like Drakes. I like Drakes. I don't know why they can't print Drakes. Like, these uncommon dragons easily could have been Drakes. And I'm looking at this set, and really, there's not that many dragons in it. Okay, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Scrolling down. Okay, so I've got 5. And I have 6. There's a common, which I'll read. Lightning Shrieker. 4 and a red. Flying Trample Haste. He's a 5/5. At the beginning of the next end step, Lightning Shrieker's owner shuffles it into his or her library. Wow, that is stupid. Stupid card. Stupid. So that's 6. Any more. Okay, that's 6. Okay, let's look at the multicolor. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 dragons. 11 dragons in this entire set, plus a land that says dragon in it. I guess the next set would be the one that has more in it. Okay, I guess maybe this 1,000 years ago, maybe the dragons were already starting to die out, so there weren't that many. So the ones that there were around were crap or really good, because you got the multicolored ones, which I suppose those are the ones that I kind of have to go over now because I've gone over all the other ones. Let's just do this. Okay, so there's 5 legendary dragons in this set. So woohoo, Commander, and they all have cool names. That I probably am going to completely mispronounce. First, we'll start with Dromoka the Eternal. He costs 3, a green, and a white. He's a legendary creature dragon, rare, with flying, and he's a 5/5. And he says, whenever a dragon you control attacks, bolster 2. Okay, so again, this is probably going to be perfect with the next set, which hopefully has a lot more dragons than this one does. That's cool, though. I do like the bolster, because it's whenever a dragon you control attacks. So literally, if you have, like, 4 dragons out, you bolster, like, 4 times. And you're really going to boost all your dudes. And you get to keep those counters. It's not like they go away. So that's a good one. I like that one. Especially in those colors. Well, although that is kind of not a good color for dragons, is it? Green-white? I mean, how many other dragons are there in green-white?
There are 11 dragons
in the entire Magic the Gathering world that either have both green and white, or green and then white, or green by itself, or white by itself. Otherwise, that's it. There's only 11. So you would have to put this in a 3-color deck, obviously. I don't know. I just felt like looking that up. And then we have Ojutai, Soul of Winter, 5 white and a blue, so 7. Legendary creature dragon, he's a 5/6 with flying and vigilance. He says, whenever a dragon you control attacks, tap target non-land permanent an opponent controls. That permanent doesn't untap during its opponent's next untap step. So, again, if you have like 2 or 3 dragons out, you attack with all of them at once, you tap 3 of their dudes, basically making it impossible for them to block you or even have a chance of blocking you, and you basically win the game. I mean, if you have 3 dragons out and they can't block any 3 of them, then yeah, they probably just lost. So there's that. What else do we have? We have Silumgar, the Drifting Death. Costs 4, blue and a black. He's a legendary creature dragon, flying, and hexproof. He's a 3/7. And he says, whenever a dragon you control attacks, creatures defending player controls gets -1/-1 till end of turn. That's probably the best one, just as a standalone card, because even if you don't have any other dragons, this guy kills little creatures. He is a 3/7, so he's a big wall, and he has hexproof, so it's not like they can do anything about it. That's probably the best standalone of all 5 of these. Next up is Kolaghan, the Storm's Fury. Costs 3, a black, and a red. He's a legendary creature dragon, rare. He's a 4/5 with flying. And he says, whenever a dragon you control attacks, creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn. And it has dash, of course. So its dash cost, though, is the same. So it's 3 black and red. So, meh. I mean, it's good. If its dash cost was less, then I'd say this is good. But it's just not that great. Because for 5 mana, I can have him permanently. Or for 5 mana, I can have a 4/5 with haste flying and give him a boost. So he's actually a 5/5. So, but, you know, I mean, I guess it's not terrible. It's not, obviously, it's not a terrible card, but it's not a great card either. It's decent. It's okay and limited because it's evasive, because A, it has flying, and B, if you play it for its dash cost, which I don't see why you would ever not pay it for its dash cost, then yeah, then cool, it's good. But okay, and then lastly, we have Atarka, World Render. This costs 5, a red, and a black, or 5, a red, and a green, sorry. It is a legendary creature dragon. It is a 6/4 with flying and trample, and it says, whenever a dragon you control attacks, it gains double strike until end of turn. Okay, that's a really good card. Okay, yep, by itself, great card. It has flying and trample, so again, it's evasive because it has flying. And it has trample, so even if something does block it, it's getting most of that through, and it has double strike. So it has first strike. So a dragon with double strike is amazing, and giving other dragons double strike is even more amazing-er. Yeah, those are literally all the dragons, unless you count Ugin, which I don't, because he's a planeswalker. That is not, his subtype is not dragon, it is Ugin. I know his name has dragon in it, but you know what? I've already read him last week, I'm not reading him again. Yeah, so those are all the dragons. And I think that's actually probably the only cards that I really want to go over. I want to save a bunch of them for something else that I'm going to be doing here soon, hopefully, which I will go over later. But for now, I think I'm just going to move on. There's really not a whole lot news-wise. I guess some more cards, you know, fake cards have been coming out. People have been getting really good at printing fake cards. You know, just be smart. You know, if somebody is trading something to you and they're acting funny, or if they're trying to give you a good deal, it's probably because it's, if it's too good to be true, it probably is, okay? Now, you just gotta really get a look at the cards. Go home, if you're not home already, look at a pile of your cards, older ones especially, because those are the cards that people are gonna wanna copy. Look at them, and just say, hey, you know, this is what a card looks like. Go out, if you see a a really cool card that someone wants to want to trade you for, and it feels weird, just don't do it. Don't go through with it. If you don't think it's real, it probably isn't. If there's even a little hint of you thinking it's not real, I guarantee it isn't real. Especially if you've been playing the game long enough to know. If you're newer, then, you know, just be wary. Don't go out be trading for that kind of stuff. Go to someone who's a legitimate buyer or seller that you know is a good legitimate buyer or seller, which you can find them all the time at your local game store. If you don't have a local game store like me, well then, you know what? I guess you're just screwed. And I might sound sour, but that's probably because I am. Ho-ho! That's really all I have for news, so I suppose we could probably move on to our mashup. Actually, yeah, let's move on to our mashup. We'll move on to our question of the week, and then, yeah, we'll just keep this rolling. All right, so last week we had a pretty meh mashup. It was kind of a weird set of creatures, but if you don't know what the mashup is, I suppose I'll quickly describe what it is. Mashup, basically, is where I go to the Gatherer, and I hit random card. It gives me a random card, I read the oracle and print a text, and then I say, cool, this is a card. Then, I hit random card again. I read that text, I do that the same thing, and then what I do is we mash them together. I used to do them just like right away. I go, these are the cards, I'm going to mash them right now. Now you go ahead and send me a response. But now what I'm doing, instead of doing that, to kind of help bolster creativity, is I'm waiting week to week to give my answers. So last week we had, what did we have? We had a Veteran Bodyguard and Azorius Charm. I'm going to quickly read these so that we've got a fresh memory. Veteran Bodyguard costs 3 and 2 white. It's a creature, human, 2/5. And it says, as long as Veteran Bodyguard is untapped, all damage that would be dealt to you by unblocked creatures is dealt to Veteran Bodyguard instead. And the other card we had was Azorius Charm. Yep. Azorius Charm costs 1 white, 1 blue. It's an instant uncommon that says choose one. Creatures you control gain lifelink until end of turn, or draw a card, or put target attacking or blocking creature on top of its owner's library. Ugh. My voice keeps busting. Okay, so those were the two cards. My response was basically this. I got Azorius Bodyguard, okay? So I kind of kept the same idea. While untapped, all damage dealt to you by creatures, not just anything, just all damage dealt to you is redirected to Azorius Bodyguard. So basically he takes all damage. And then here he is actually a 1/4 now instead of a 2/5, and here's why. Because when he dies, choose one. Draw a card, or target creature on top of, or put target creature, target opponent controls on top of their library. I got rid of the third one because it didn't really fit. It wasn't really an ability that you'd want to use with him when he dies, and I reduced his toughness so that he wouldn't be so impossible to die. You know, so he might die earlier, draw that card a little earlier, or get rid of the creature that made him die a little earlier. So that's my response to it. We had, I think, just one response this week to the mashup, unless I'm missing something. Yep, I just had one response. So thank you for the response. It's from our good friend at Zabgora on Twitter. And here's what we got. We got Lavinia's Bodyguard. Costs 4 in hybrid white-blue, hybrid white-blue, so 6 converted. It's a human creature, 2/5 rare, that says, as long as Lavinia's bodyguard is untapped, all damage that would be dealt to you by unblocked creatures is dealt to a Lavinia's bodyguard instead. Okay, fair enough. You may pay a white and tap it. Creatures you control gain lifelink till end of turn. You may pay a blue and tap it, draw a card. Or you may pay white-blue to tap it to put target attacking or blocking creature on top of its owner's library. Huh. Well, I mean, it's a Swiss Army knife, that's for sure. It gives anybody lifelink, you can draw a card, or you can do this, which, you know, it's untapped. It's always going to be untapped. Well, actually, no, it wouldn't always, because you want to use these abilities. So basically, it's great for blocking, and then also unblocked creatures would deal damage to it. So, you know, it's actually pretty decent. Yeah, I like it. I do like it, because then, you know, while it's tapped for using its ability, it doesn't have all the damage dealt to it. But then you're also losing a huge blocker, so it definitely makes you think about what you want to do. Cool. Cool, cool. Thank you for the response. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, well then, I think I can pretty much move on. Let's see here. Let's do this. All right, random card. Clicking. We have Song of Serenity is the first card. Interesting. Okay, let me read this. Song of Serenity costs 1 and a green. It's an enchantment uncommon from Exodus. It's never been reprinted. It says creatures with any enchantments on them cannot attack or block. Huh. Okay. Cool. Fair enough. I've actually never seen this card before. I don't know if that makes me ignorant or just regular. All right, hitting random card again. Oh, okay. That's funny. The next card is a little card that's also only been printed once in Magic 2015. Aggressive Mining. Wow. Okay, so Aggressive Mining costs 3 and a red. It's an enchantment rare. And it says, you can't play lands. Sacrifice a land. Draw 2 cards. That's it. I like the way I said that. Sacrifice a land and you draw 2 cards. Activate this ability only once each turn. Wow. So yeah, good luck with that. Our 2 mashups this week, our 2 cards are Song of Serenity and Aggressive Mining. Good luck with that mashup. You can send me a response to @oopsalldex on Twitter, or you can send me a response at oopsalldex@gmail.com. Those are the 2 best spots to send it to, and then I can read your response, as you saw, right after I read mine. Yeah, so if you want to get in there and try and figure out what the crap these 2 cards would make, go right ahead. One of those 2 spots, send it right to me, and I'll read it next week on Oops All Decks, episode 20. Hurrah! So cool. That is our mashup for this week. So that'll be interesting trying to figure that out. Otherwise, we also had a question of the week, which I try to do every week now. And last week's question was, in so many words, if you could pick one card from the history of Magic, from completely anywhere in the history of the game, to have framed with the full art, which I added this at on Twitter, so if you missed that, I apologize, but just as an addendum, you can also have the full art. So basically, you just have like a big frame picture of the art, and then you'd have the card also inside the frame. And it would look really cool. We got actually a pretty decent amount of responses for this. So we've got a response from @BalduvianBears. Because the question was, what car would you frame? He says, that would be me. Because their Twitter handle is @BalduvianBears. Clever. No, and then they actually said, actually, I think I seriously would answer Brainstorm from Ice Age, because that art's just phenomenal. And then we got one from Kithkins, or @Kithkins. Otherwise known as Zach Kithkin Advisor, and he put a Johnny Vengeant, the pack art, not either of the promos. Okay, yeah, I like that art actually too. He looks really like, I'm gonna get you. and then we've got one from @Fruity2x, or Mike Hilton on Twitter. This for sure, I'm trying to talk the wife into getting a print of it and hang it above the fireplace. Okay, and then didn't say what it was, and I'm like, what is that? And I sent a message like, what card is this? Because I don't know what it was. And he put, oh, sorry, it's Temple of Mystery. So, and the art's done by Noah Bradley, put there also. So cool. That is a pretty art, actually. I like that. And then I got another response from at WJMALBANY at OopsLDex. Scorch the Earth. So great. And I don't even play much red. I like that. That is pretty neat. Oh, and then I got a response from at Zebgora as well. The Liliana Vess alternate art from Gurk versus Liliana. I do like that art, actually, too. That's like one of the first cards that I got. So shiny and pretty. Sweet. Well, thank you for the responses, everybody. That was a lot more than I thought I was going to get. I think it helped that I also posted on Twitter, because I had nothing, and then I went on Twitter and said, hey, what would you do? What card would you do? And then I got a bunch of responses. So, just shows how many people listen to my show. No, but yeah. So thank you for the responses. Thank you again. If I had to pick one, it would definitely be Tobias Andreon. if we're talking no money, you know, money is not an issue. It's just literally, I want one framed. Definitely Tobias Andreon. If you don't know what that is, it's kind of a running joke that I only myself understand, because I'm weird. But go to The Gatherer and look up Tobias Andreon. You'll understand why I love that art so much, because it is just weird. You look at it and it's like, what is going on in this picture? He's doing like a weird gang sign, and he's got one eye closed, I'm assuming because it's been injured. But he's just a boss. He's like the best legendary creature ever. But yeah, it would definitely be Tobias, or Tobias, however you want to, do it. Just because I think it's funny. But I suppose if I was gonna pick one just for the sake of the art is really cool and I really like it, I would probably do Steam Vents. Because I really like the art on Steam Vents. Actually, really either of them. Yeah, definitely. Like the second one, I love. The first one, I actually like the second one better than I like the first one, but I'm predominantly blue-red as a player, so it kind of comes off perfectly, and then I just really like the art for it. So, yeah, I think I would go Steam Vents for sure, if I was going just for art. But just a card in general, definitely Tobias, definitely. Not even a question. Okay, so, yeah, that's pretty much what I would pick. Thank you again for the responses. Question of the week for this week for episode 19 of OopsLDex is simply, what is your favorite set and or block of Magic the Gathering? I say set and or block because a lot of people, they'll say, well, I like this block and I like the first set that's in it the most. But some people say, nah, first only set standalone that I like the most is this, but then the block as a whole, I like this. So it's kind of a two-parter, but if you like one block and one set that's inside the block, cool. Cool beans. So again, same as mashup, go ahead and send that at OopsLDex on Twitter or OopsLDex@gmail.com. But yeah, otherwise next week I will give you my answer, and I will give you my answer for the mashup. But until then, that's pretty much all I got. So thanks for tuning in, thanks for listening to episode 19 of OopsLDex. Here we are, we're almost legal drinking age, so we're getting there. Next week we'll be having episode 20, so tune in for sure, because we'll be talking about stuff next week. Fate Reforged is coming out, so I'm sure I'll have some stuff to talk about. Otherwise, thanks for listening. Have a good day, morning, afternoon. Drive safe, and eat lots of turkey.